You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 26th, 2020. And today we're playing Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And quick, Paragon or Renegade? You, personally.
Oh, me personally? I mean, Paragon, my dude. Every day.
You're not right triggering every time, you know, a young child asks you to buy Girl Scout cookies or whatever?
I mean, I will go to the grave arguing that going Renegade on the Krogan homeworld is the Paragon thing to do.
if you haven't put it together by now, today we are talking about
recent release Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, the ye old morality meter, because we saw a funny stat from an article saying one of the developers on Mass Effect was saying a super majority of the players of Mass Effect played a Paragon character, yep. You know, the quote unquote good or noble version versus the Renegade. I mean, it's hard to measure these things, but I mean, based off of what we see, it's somewhere between 66 and 90 something percent chose, yep, Paragon. Either way, number, the super majority is pretty wild.
It's so high that, yeah, that many people chose Paragon. And, you know, this quote specifically says something like 92% of Mass Effect players were Paragon, and we put a lot of work in the Renegade content too. I just want to like raise my hand and say maybe you didn't put in as much work into it as you thought you did. I mean, I'm not going to go back in time.
Maybe they did, and no one just saw it.
I'm not going to go back in time and criticize Mass Effect 3, but I had this experience with Fallout. Above and beyond like what was actually experienced, I really do think it is very difficult to tell an interesting and compelling story when you are playing an asshole. You know, when character is a douchebag, that story is going to be less interesting. And I speak from the experience of a dungeon master of RPGs for many years who has had to try to deal with chaotic evil players, mm-hmm, or really more often like, oh, I'm just chaotic neutral, but then I also am willing to kill children to get a quick bit of cash. Oh, yeah, into, yeah, like, you know, fitting into the world of heroes that I'm trying to build, you know?
Well, I mean, you're getting straight to the heart of it then, because, I mean, you know, why dance around it? Is it just that, in your opinion, you know Mass Effect better than I have. I know Mass Effect 1 and 2 pretty well. I don't know Mass Effect 3 as well. Mm-hmm. But is that your opinion? Because I think you've played through multiple times, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've defended Mass Effect 3 before in the past, and I'll do so here now as well. I think that there's a significant misunderstanding in the way that we think about Paragon and Renegade, specifically in the Mass Effect series. I think generally when we're having this conversation, it's about being good versus being evil, and Paragon is the good thing, and Renegade is the evil thing. Generally, I don't think that's the case. I think it's much better to understand it literally from the Dungeons and Dragons point of view, which is to say Paragon is the lawful good version of behaving as Commander Shepard, and Renegade is the chaotic good version of behaving as Commander Shepard. You are good no matter what. It's about how you express that goodness, and Paragon is really just adhering to the sort of the laws that are established within the Mass Effect universe, such that I think in either case, no matter what you decide, the best experience, I really believe that the best experience is choosing both and making that call, not because you're trying to build the perfect character or the most badass or evil character. It's to build a character that makes the decisions about how to behave based upon the circumstances, which is much more the realistic way that human beings make decisions, you know?
Yeah. I remember thinking that it wasn't, maybe Mass Effect 3 is different, but Mass Effect 1 and 2, the decisions themselves were fairly, were fairly straightforward in that there was kind of a more noble way of going about them. There wasn't one that was going to be a true, hey, this was just a bad person's decision.
Right.
Maybe your methods were a bit suspect, but you ended up with something that would that at least a muddled hero could stand beside. Was that the case for 3-2? Did they continue to like go into that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the case across all three of the Mass Effects, right? Like the moral dilemmas, the interesting decisions that you make, no matter how you make them, the game will judge you by the Paragon Renegade scale. But ultimately, it's always going to be a muddled decision. You know? I mean, I don't know. I think the meat of this conversation, right, is, you know, you and I don't think have played a game where there is a good and bad meter in quite a while that really sort of has died out from narrative video games. And I guess the question that I would have is, what do we lose by not having that? And is that something that we think it makes sense to revisit? Or do we want to be in a world where all of our decisions are always sort of muddled and, you know, you can't really have confidence in terms of the morality or ethics of one decision over another.
How was your playthrough with the Outer Worlds?
Yeah, I mean, that one is similar, right? Like, the Fallout style of game is such that when you make a decision, there are factions and groups of people that will judge you based upon that decision.
Right? Yeah.
But you don't make the decision knowing that you're contributing towards a good or bad meter. You might do things that are bad. In fact, in those games, you could be really bad, right? You could just kill everyone you see, and you could be like a total jerk and not have to help people. I certainly didn't play it that way because, frankly, there's plenty of assholes in real life. My power fantasy is being a good person and helping the downtrodden, you know, and not, my power fantasy is not just exploiting other people. So I have very little interest in being a bad person. But I do appreciate the sense that those games create of your decisions have a very real impact on how you were seen. And it's a permanent one. And then you're done. You know, like you get one opportunity to make a decision and you have to just live with that morality afterwards.
And they handled most of that through just how the factions would either align or distance themselves from you based off of the decisions.
Yeah. So either the factions would straight up turn against you, or, I mean, in the most extreme cases, you might, you know, obliterate a whole town off the map, or you might doom a colony, right? Those are the more extreme cases. And the more measured, like just general, how you are doing your side quests, there is a meter that is tracking faction rep. And sometimes you can build faction rep in one, but it has a negative impact on the faction rep of another, right?
Right.
There's never going to be a world where you can max out all factions. Or maybe there is, but I'm not aware of it in Outer Worlds or really any game that I think does a good job of expressing the sort of cost benefit of helping people or hurting people or you know, making decisions that are interesting and meaningful.
And there's enough factions such that it's multidimensional. It's not just you're on one side or the other. There's spokes out of the center.
Yep. Yep.
Because that's the thing that is more, I mean, maybe this is just a remnant of making this into a mechanic, but I think it's the dichotomy thing that is so unique, where this is the Paragon or Renegade. It's the asshole or the Boy Scout, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really one or other, right? It's a zero sum game when it comes to Paragon or Renegade.
Yeah. How about Red Dead Redemption 2?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Maybe that was the one, the most recent one that we've played that has a more traditional, because the morality thing was pretty, you know, you're did either a cool meter, cowboy though? Or a, yeah, had a whole thing.
Dude, I don't remember that at all. It clearly didn't stick out then.
It was the, what did they call it? I think they called it Honor, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
I think one of the gamies useless systems.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because what a fucking useless system that is, dude. Because, I mean, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, but nothing you did really had a huge impact on it. It wasn't like, oh, you kill someone's cow and suddenly your morality plummets, or you help one person and your morality skyrockets, right? And
I think you're right. I mean, it did, but it did so in such a small thing that you really had to work to get it one way or the other.
Also, what a bizarre system where you're playing as an outlaw, you know, like,
yes,
you, by definition, everything you do is a renegade decision, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was one of our big discussion points around the game, which is in a modern game where not only have we seen this before and we kind of understand the mechanical limitations and benefits and drawbacks of it, but also in the context of a game that also wants to have an extremely explicit narrative, how do you crowbar this thing in?
Yeah.
And for Red Dead, it was, you could do so many little things where, oh, if you help this person, or if you took this lost item back, or if you pickpocketed somebody, or if you didn't do the quest in a nice way, so many things impacted it. But then again, it took so many choices to actually move the needle one way, yeah, or the other. So you had this weird thing of every single thing impacts it, but nothing really matters.
Yeah. You know, now that you're talking about it, here's the thing that I remember, because I actually do remember defending the system in our debrief now, because part of the pointlessness and the difficulty of moving that needle is the point, right? Like, it is a superfluous system, like a lot of the systems in Red Dead. It is a super, or more, maybe a better example, or a lot of the superfluous systems in Death Stranding are superfluous for a reason, right? Mm. And I think the morality one is an interesting one, because at the end of the game, what's his name?
Who's the main character? Old Mr. Not Marston.
Well, you know, we all love Marston, and he's clearly, yeah, the main character of that game, just tacitly. The main character of Red Dead, whatever, Craig Cowboyman. you know, by the end of that game, he's asking himself, am I a good person? You know, and he's saying he's not a good person. And you have this meter that's slowly built up, but it has real references, right? So, you know, as everyone is telling you, like, you're a good person because you helped me, right? I think that meter is a very interesting way of creating a on-screen reminder to contribute towards the theme that to be a good person is to do good acts. And at the end of the day, when we're trying to judge how we'll be weighed when our days are done, right? it's a question of how much good did you bring to people in these, like, small incremental decisions that you make.
I was looking up the actual mechanical implications about what happens when you achieve different honor levels, yep, or what have you.
Ugh, God, don't ruin it for me, Scott. I just had this beautiful poetic.
I think that's, it's so weird because, I mean, there are mechanical things. Most of it is not. This is the other weird thing where, like, I think it, to your point, I think it rewards you most of the time for thinking about it narratively, because, yeah, some of the rewards are, I mean, the best one, you have to be completely full honor, is you get a discount in all of the shops.
That's cool. So it's like, I like that.
Yeah, which is good. That's fine. Okay. You know, I could argue just as the same, if you were an outlaw, you would also get a discount in the shops, because if you charge too much, you'll just steal it.
That's a great point. I like that idea a lot.
I mean, you know, the two types of people that get discounts in shops are cops and gangsters. So I mean,
but I would argue that's the five-finger discount, and you give it to yourself.
I guess that's fair. But other than that, it's, you know, there's unlocks for types of clothes or outfits you can buy. There's, you know, there's more incremental discounts. If you go in the opposite direction, you get different loot when you have when you kill people. You know, you'll have different items, or you have more common things that will help you in battle. But it doesn't seem like a huge impact, in all honesty. So I think the more impactful thing is just that constant mechanical reminder of how long it takes to recover. You know, from, if you've gone down the path, I mean, maybe there's a metaphorical component to how long it takes to get back onto the path of the righteous. And to your point, you can say you're good or bad as much as you want, but what do you actually do? And how does that correspond to what you say?
It's always interesting to me the way that the morality system works, especially in those games. I think Fallout is an example where if you steal something, your morality goes down, even if no one sees you.
There's some, you know, God watching you the whole time.
Well, it's like, it's this interesting thing, right? Because there's partly something like a morality system that is based off of the way that other people see you. And then I think that you could get a really interesting story out of having that meter, right? Because in the case of Red Dead, right, what that reflects is, especially in terms of the discounts, for example, is the way that people are seeing your behavior and your legend as it spreads, right? And in a way, that fits really well with a Western, right? We can think of stuff like the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, right? Or like, or, you know, any number of Westerns where the legend of the perpetrator, Unforgiven, right? Like the legend is the thing that is built up and goes above and beyond that protagonist, right? The protagonist of Unforgiven has made the decisions that lead up to him being seen as a monstrous renegade. Like he is the bad guy, right? And he probably deserves it. But by the time we encounter him in that film, he's not a bad guy anymore, right? Like he's a good guy who's also capable of extremely terrifying things. I like that idea a lot. I think it works really well with Westerns. I think it can work in a lot of other video games. And then on the other hand, there's a morality system that is measuring your actual moral compass and defining you as an individual, right? Where it's not, well, how did this guy behave? But really, you know, what is the type of person that you've made? It's almost like what you're really doing is creating the backstory, and the morality meter is how it results in that character. And I think maybe the best case example for that would be something like the KOTOR systems, where the light side and the dark side, which direction you go to, sort of determines the type of Jedi you are at the end of the game. Right? If you choose to be evil and you become join the dark side, then you get all these dark side powers. And that is the story of how this particular Jedi became a member of the dark side. It's not about the legend, right? Like that there's a very real inner story there with that particular morality meter.
Well, and it's also in the story, it works well too, because there are certain things that Sith do that Jedi just don't. I mean, you very rarely
kill
younglings,
see
a Jedi,
for example,
with you very rarely see a Jedi with, you know, lightning bolt powers. They just don't roll that way. But maybe you want it, and so like that's the way you, like there are trade-offs. Or, you know, maybe I'll tell you the legend of Darth Plagueis or whatever. Like, I mean,
the wise,
the wise. I mean, I think there's that makes more sense in the universe because there are more tangible trade-offs that people make. Yeah, I think, that's a good call out. I was, what game was I thinking about the other day that had a morality meter? You know what? No, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking about the potential. I think it would be cool to lean further into the morality meter in a very cyberpunk dystopian way and actually have it be a visible thing that other characters react to in the game.
That is amazing. I love it.
Like,
above like
imagine
your
if you're yeah exactly yeah, imagine like if a you're in Cyberpunk 2077 and they're like, get the fuck out, your social score is only 108, you know?
This is a Black Mirror episode, Scott.
It really is and the scary thing is because there are countries in the world that are already going in that direction, but it would just be cool to further gamify it in a way that the NPCs so everyone is in on the system, not just the player.
I mean, KOTOR kind of does that. Like, if you walk in with sunken black eyes and like a glowing red lightsaber, I think I'm gonna fucking know exactly what kind of person you are, you know?
No, my lightsaber's more of an orange. I'm pretty sure that's red.
I don't think so. I love that idea a lot, man. You know, I feel like we've all collectively agreed that we're done with morality systems, but man, I kind of like, there's something about it, you know? I also love the idea that it is a known thing, right? Like, we live in a world where, look, I mean, as of today, Harvey Weinstein got convicted of crimes, but generally speaking, people get away with bad shit all the time, you know?
Right.
I like the idea sometimes of being able to play in a universe where people recognize you, even if you're alone, like, recognize you for being an asshole, you know?
God, I'm just trying to go through my brain of like all of the different systems. How about Fable? Fable was a pretty famous one at the time.
Yeah.
Because I think it took more of the KOTOR bent, right? Because didn't you actually start turning into a monster, basically?
You did, end? And it kind of defined like what ending you got in that game, right? But it actually did change your appearance as well. Like, you would become more monstrous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those are interesting cases, right? Because there's this curiosity that could drive why you're interested in telling that story. And I think you can have a really interesting story about a character that is bad, you know, that commits these evil acts. I think generally that's hard to do, but Fable is a good example where I could see myself being like, yeah, I'm just going to have an evil run because I want to see what it's like, you know?
I mean, it's this goes back to the whole, the stat around Mass Effect, where even if you have the option, and all things considered, it sounds like, you know, the Renegade version, or in Fable, the evil version, or the Sith example, it seems like there is actual, you know, quality content, a lot of, you know, effort put towards the writing and the scenario design and so on and so forth. And yet people still want to, at least initially, bias themselves towards the, you know, the paragon, the noble actor.
Yeah.
Big question, but so does that mean that we should be optimistic about what, you know, the personality that people have deep down inside? Is this an aspirational thing? Is this something that people are conditioned to think is the right way of doing things? Like, what is the deal here?
I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it, because then we're stuck with the reverse also being the truth, where the 30% of people that played Renegade are like bad people, because that's not the case, right? Like, you want to experiment with it. I think that I could understand why, and because this is true for me, you would want a tendency to be a good person and be seen as a hero in the games that we play, when we live in a world where it's much more difficult to accomplish that, you know, like there are very few opportunities. You can be a hero in small ways and it's great, but like, you might not be rewarded. You might be seen, might not be seen. I think it's very understanding why you might choose to go that route. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a level of optimism there.
Is it possible to, I'm thinking through the anti-heroes. I mean, I was late to the game on this, but, you know, a couple years ago, I finally watched the entirety of Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And one of my takeaways of that was I think people, kind of like a movie like Scarface or something, people miss the point that Walter White was a bad person who did bad things.
Yes. Yep. 100%, Scott.
But he was still the protagonist of that story. He was just, people just kind of missed the point of it. And so I was like, okay, could you make a video game where you are a bad person that does bad things, but still make it mechanically compelling, still make it worth exploring the themes of it? And I'm just trying to go through my head where it's like, I am having kind of a hard time thinking about an anti-hero who is truly an anti-hero, who's not just an asshole-ish hero in a video game.
I mean, this is the problem with films like that, right? That have been rightly criticized for that. I personally hated Wolf of Wall Street because I thought it let off the protagonist. It let him off the hook.
Yeah.
And I think you see the same criticism with The Joker, right? Which itself is a play off of a game that is also, or a film that's also been criticized, Taxi Driver, right?
Yep.
Scarface is another good example. Goodfellas. Like, there are a lot of these stories about people that are villains in the world, but, and even though sometimes the films will go out of their way to convey how bad they are at the same time made to look cool. And as a result, we end up still glorifying them for one reason or another, right? Fight Club is another example. Yep. Some of these films don't age very well because we finally come around to it and we get it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's still a lot of people who love Fight Club. Say what you will about it. But I think in this day and age, in 2020, that film just doesn't age well because people kind of understand that there's a group of people that sort of idealized Tyler Durden and didn't criticize that character for how monstrous they actually are.
Yeah.
I think to that end, it's really difficult to make a game about an anti-hero and convey that they're a bad person and shouldn't be idolized, because as a protagonist, you are sort of by definition making them look cool, you know, because you're the player and you're making these decisions and you're making all of these active choices. Walter White is a great example because at the end of the day, he's a badass doing crazy badass things, but he's also very monstrous, you know?
Yeah.
I think his arc is a really interesting and telling one, but it is really easy for that kind of behavior to sort of slip through the cracks. And to that end, I think you bring up a good point. There might be an interesting value in having a morality system that just straight up says, yeah, look, you're playing this thing, but this guy is an asshole. People dislike him. There's a very real cost for this, you know, like, because it is one of the tools by which we can judge the characters that we're playing as and judge them based upon their morality and the decisions that they're making within the world that would make sense within that world, you know? And if we lose that, then, you know, if basically every decision you make is a complicated one and there's no wrong or right choice, then you're in one of those fucking weird scenarios where I'm trying to make a game that's apolitical and, you know, maybe committing genocide against the elves is the right decision to make. Like, no, dude, just stand by your shit and be like, ew, this guy's an asshole. Fuck him.
Well, then you also get into the problem that I think Red Dead 2 suffered from, which is there still had to be some sort of redemption arc, regardless of how you played during the game. You could just go from town to town, shooting random people, looting all the way, and you'd still have these poignant cutscenes where he's wrestling with his morality and so forth. And so it's just that stuff is not integrated whatsoever, except in the last time where there's like a cutscene depends on your morality meter or something.
To just spend some time brainstorming, let's imagine like a good morality system. Well, you and I, we're making a game. What do we want in here? My first thought goes to something like, I think it'd be really interesting to see a morality system that is purely internalized, and no matter what you do, it goes down. You know, like, because here's the thing that we, like, you know, you and I and everyday people think about all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You're walking past the street, and there's some homeless person on the street who's asking for money, and you don't give them any, right?
Yeah.
There are people who are on the sort of Peter Singer philosophy side who are extreme and genuinely believe we should spend every waking minute, day, and hour improving the lot of others, even if it means literally giving the shirt off your back, right?
Yeah.
And whether or not you believe that to be case, there is certainly always a sort of weight on us of like, man, you know, I go to work, I come home, I'm tired, I play some video games. Am I spending enough time making the world a better place?
Yes.
And I love the idea of your morality system going down if every time you save, like anytime you're not playing, your morality is going down. You know, like I love the idea of the morality system is not really how people think of you. It's how you think of you. And no matter what you do, you're not going to think positively of it. That's much more true, I think.
Oh my God. Okay. Jeez, that's a stressful system. Okay. Another brainstorm. There's a morality system, but only other players can see it and you can't see your own.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Can people rate you, or like, is it based upon your decisions?
People rating would be a nightmare, so I want to say yes, but like you could also just be the decisions, like how you play the game. Well, it's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have ignored that quest giver because it was actually a very important person.
Well, how about this? To add it on, make things even more complicated, what if the way that people saw you depended on whether or not they made similar decisions?
Oh.
So it's really like a subjective morality where people of your ilk who all like screwed over an NPC are like, no,
it's
he's
like
fine.
A shared ethics simulator.
It's like a shared ethics simulator, you know? And that way it's like you might encounter someone, see their morality. Like, so for example, Mass Effect is another good one. Every time you find someone who made a decision like romancing the wrong person, it's astonishing because it's so alien to your Commander Shepard, right?
Right.
I feel like if I encounter someone in a multiplayer game and I see that like, wow, they've made all the opposite decisions that I have, they should be my enemy, dude. We should have some like moral beef, you know?
Okay, let's take this to an even more terrifying level. What if players bestowed morality points on each other?
Yeah.
However, some players, depending on in-world fiction of status or race or what have you, had more points.
I love it. To distribute, yes.
Or my one point is weighted heavier than another. Like, the elven point is weighted heavier than the dwarven point because we hate those filthy dwarves. they don't deserve it. You know, so it's like, it's a privilege simulator where if you have disapproval of the ruling classes, it is disproportionately harmful to your character.
I like that quite a bit. All right. Out of the box thinking, metagame edition, right? Your morality is voted on by real world people using a portal with your name removed. So actual people will watch cutscenes of how you behave and then judge you online.
They don't even need to be playing.
They don't have to play. You just open it up and they just judge you based upon your behavior and they can see like how much what your playtime is, like your whole story arc, and they rate you and they judge you at the end of like a level. You know how like you'll get like S+, but right. other people are rating you.
I feel like this could be a way to either drastically improve or completely destroy all of esports.
Yes, 100%.
Because if I could evaluate esports people just on their like toxicity level or just how much of a jerk they are or how annoying they are externally without even having to watch, you know, dozens of hours of competitive Overwatch or whatever, it would just be a different world out there.
Yeah, whole nother world. Before we wrap, let's each name one game that we think would be improved with the morality system, or at least maybe fundamentally changed.
Fundamentally changed with a morality system. Okay. All right, I have one that's actually a soon-to-be game.
Okay.
I think it would be... Actually, you know what, to be fair, I don't know if this is already the case. If it is, sorry, I haven't played any of the games.
Animal Crossing.
I think... Yep, Animal Crossing. I think it would be very interesting to see just what a morality system would look like in Animal Crossing that is explicit. You know, here's a meter, here's how, and maybe it's a social capital thing, you know, here's how good you are with as a farmer or paying back your mortgage or whatever. Yeah. I think it would be, because it's so much of a social game, it would be cool to see what that looks like or if you tried to quantify that angle of it.
Yep, that's great. I like that one a lot. Here's a doozy. I think you're going to like this one.
Okay.
Euro Truck Simulator. Let's say every time you cut someone off, like you don't know, right?
You don't know.
Because you don't know. Like, you know, sometimes in real life you might cut someone off without realizing it.
That person was the prime minister.
Yeah, every time you're slow, you like miss the fact that it's a green light, like people are raiding you. Every time you let someone cut in, you know, positive morality, right?
Yeah.
You get to your destination. Not only do your goods have to come intact, you need to have a positive rating. Right? You know that number on the back of trucks where it's like, call this number.
Call my,
like,
oh my God,
let me know how you're driving. It's like, it takes that and actually systemizes it.
And it would just be like, click here to rate my driving.
Oh my God. Even better. Going back to the crazy idea. What if you were Twitch broadcasting your live stream of you playing, people could watch you and call in to a real hotline and leave you messages about your driving.
Oh my God. What a nightmare.
There needs to be an MMO that's just human traffic. like Red Dead Redemption, but everyone's job is literally to just go from point A to point B in cars.
Well, and there has to be that meta judgment of it. It's the panopticon or whatever of gaming. Like everyone has to be
car-opticon.
Constantly judge.
Panopticar. Oh, Panopticar. We just invented. Oh my God. Panopticar.com.
That one is delicious because everyone thinks they're a great driver.
You know, I got my license when I was 30 years old. I do not think I'm a good driver.
But I guarantee you, you're a better driver than a big chunk of the population out there. I mean, just
that's true,
think
and
about
I believe
it.
I mean, because you said it.
And you've been on the road. I mean, but that's the thing. And the crushing thing is, statistically, it's impossible that you are... I mean, it's not impossible, but like, come on. Realistically, you think everyone thinks they're on the right side of the bell curve. It cannot be.
Definitely true. The other thing about driving, right, is there are times when I'll make a mistake and I know it, but I cannot communicate to the other driver, yo, my bad.
Yeah,
you know, like we all have,
and in their mind, forever, for the rest of their life, you're a terrible driver.
Yes, for the rest of the, like, fuck that guy. What was he thinking? And it's like, I just legitimately didn't see you. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, I feel like we've just busted this wide open. Any sort of game jam could be like built around, basically the morality game jam.
This Panopticar has such a good ring to it. I am extremely satisfied with what we've produced here today.
Get on it, everybody.
Game designers out there, Panopticar.
All right, everyone. We're interested to hear your morality take, and also just early seed investments of Panopticar are, of course, welcome as well. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints is our website. You can let us know how our morality is doing by leaving us a review. Just tell us, you know, Paragon, Renegade. You can find
I feel
us
like all of these ideas we just had have put us fully in the Renegade territory because they were mostly about causing human misery.
That's a very good point. Inventing a game where all you do is drive and get mad at other drivers is not bringing joy into the world.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Drive safe.